I guess that would bring us to a discussion of Fallujah and how it is that that got very complicated for Blackwater and for the United States, not to mention the victims.
Yeah, I think most people, when we started the war in Iraq, had an understanding there was a contractor presence. You know, we had what they call LOGCAP, which is the civilian component that supports military activity. And we think of those people as truck drivers, people who clean toilets, run the chow halls and things like that. But I think most Americans didn't have a problem with that because we expected the civilian component to support our troops overseas. And it was going to be a short war, and it's better that we hire this out and get it done and come home. In 2003, the late 2003, the insurgency started to take off, and by 2004 it was in full swing. And there was a point at which a decision was made to rebuild Iraq, which means a lot of civilian companies and contractors were working over there, while we were actively fighting a war. And this required a huge security component. And Blackwater had their first commercial contract working for a German sort of caterer who would provide food for the troops. And they had just taken over this job from Control Risk, which is an English company. And their job was to essentially learn the routes, figure out what was safe, what wasn't safe. But, you know, Eric Prince, who's the owner of Blackwater, has a very, very aggressive stance in how he does business. So he wanted to show the client that he was going to be out there and help these people. So they had to pick up some pots and pans at one military base and take it to another military base. And I'm literally, these are three empty trucks going to pick up a bunch of kitchen equipment so that somebody can, you know, stock a kitchen. He decides to send a crew of guys there, but they're short because one guy missed a plane, and that's actually T-Boy, the fellow I mentioned in the early part of this conversation, missed his plane, and so they sent a Navy SEAL, a guy named Scott Helvinson, up to Baghdad to round out this component of security. Now, if you understand how a PSD works, which is a personal security detail, you have to have at least one vehicle, more likely to have three vehicles. And that's because you have to look in front of you, you have to look behind you, and if you get into trouble, you need another vehicle to get into. So what happened is because they were short on manpower and they were eager to do things, they sent out two vehicles, which at that time were Mitsubishi Pajeros, which were used by the CIA. They were in sort of common supply, and armored vehicles were in short supply. In this particular contract, the armored vehicles were supposed to be supplied by the client, and the client didn't do that. And they sent out only four people, and that's two men in each vehicle. Now, if you can imagine, if you're driving and there's someone sitting next to you, you're not spending a lot of time looking behind you, and you're probably covering your first 180-degree, and then the guy behind you is hopefully looking behind you. They decide to head out, and because there's some animosity within the company, the team manager refuses to give this group maps. Now, you have to remember that Fallujah is not very far from Baghdad. It's about a good, you know, two-hour drive. And their job was to go there, meet these trucks, pick this stuff up, come back. Well, they got lost. And they spent the night at a military base. They started asking people how to get here, how to get there. And whatever security they had or whatever sort of covertness for their mission was gone. And they were driving around Fallujah, and at that time Fallujah was a very dangerous place, and even the military didn't go through Fallujah. They stopped, they met an Iraqi civilian patrol. He said, oh yeah, we can take you to the base, we'll just cut right through Fallujah. They got into traffic, and all of a sudden the escort they had just bolted and took off. Insurgents ran from behind an alleyway, killed two of the men instantly. The other two who were in the front turned around and tried to come to the rescue of the first two that were killed, and they were shot dead instantly. And then these bodies were taken out of the vehicles after they were burned and hung from a bridge. Now, that's not an unusual scenario in a war. But two things happened that made it very, very important. One is that this was videotaped, and that tape went around the world, and it looked exactly like Black Hawk Down. The second thing is that we had a Hearts and Mind campaign in Fallujah, which was basically hands-off, handle it with kids' gloves. We then shifted, and when I say we, I mean President Bush ordered to go into Fallujah and find the people who did this, and we ended up flattening Fallujah, which created one of the most seminal moments in the war in Iraq. So we actually changed our military tactics and strategy because of this one incident, because four civilians got lost in the most dangerous city in Iraq. And I think that's when Blackwater and civilian contractors first hit the map.
All right, so what happens in Fallujah that eventually turns into what Fallujah became?
Well, the interesting thing, I mean, I travel around the world, and not just this war, but, I mean, in many other wars. Fallujah was viewed as one of those seminal events in which the West basically slaughtered, razed an entire city, and killed thousands of innocents. And there were actually Somali mujahideen wearing Fallujah T-shirts after this event. And it galvanized the Iraqis from thinking that they were being liberated to sort of parallels with the Jenin and the destruction of the camps by Israelis. So what happened is that it shifted the idea that we're here to save you or we're here to liberate you to mercenaries coming over and killing us. And that, I mean, in terms of, you have to be in Baghdad to understand it, but we were now viewed as no better than occupiers or crusaders or mercenaries.
Right. Well, I think we can understand that without being in Baghdad, that it got worse. Now, what changed, though, in Blackwater has obviously been in trouble. It's gotten a high amount of scrutiny, and they were able to keep some of these details from hitting the press for a long time before Blackwater did.
Well, actually, there is a lawsuit, and what happened is that the families were shocked. I mean, these gentlemen had told their families they're going off and working security and so on and so forth. There's no never under understanding they would be murdered and killed that brutally. And when they wanted to get redress from the corporation, which is Blackwater, initially they were very helpful. I mean, Blackwater takes very good care of its employees. But then when they wanted more and more, they were basically shut off. So then they hired a lawyer, and the lawyer's been going after Blackwater. And probably the single most damaging lawsuit I've seen in a long time, in which they've been driving the bus in terms of the public image of Blackwater. But more importantly, people started to say, who are these people? Like, why are we hiring civilians to be in combat? Now, in other words, why are men running around with guns getting murdered when we have the military over there? And what had happened is that two things. One is that this administration had set up a very aggressive, forward-leaning foreign policy, which means that we are going to operate in Iraq under extremely violent conditions, and we're going to hire civilians to allow corporations and diplomats to get around. And secondly, we don't care what the locals think, because you have to remember the other side effect of Fallujah was that these security companies got extremely aggressive. In other words, they converted immediately not only to armored cars, but to almost tank-like vehicles, and gunning up with heavy machine guns, you know, M4s,
sure,
and then raising the rules of violence to levels that you wouldn't even see in Somalia.